Approximately 150,000 U.S. forces are spread out across Iraq. One of the ways they communicate with each other is through the newspaper Stars and Stripes. Its editors have received nearly 2,000 letters since the beginning of combat in Iraq last March, some of them questioning the U.S. mission, others praising it. Sharon Olson is Stars and Stripes' assistant managing editor for Europe and the Middle East. She says in this newspaper, which serves all branches of the military, servicemen and women can express their feelings about the U.S. role and their own.
The headline on this letter is Close to Imprisonment, and it ran in our August 6th edition. It says, I want to express to readers the psychological war that grips us now in Iraq. I'm a Gulf War veteran with 15 years of service. The troops in my unit and several other soldiers I've met are psychologically drained because our current situation is monotonous and boring. There's almost no information flow as to what's going on with a redeployment scheme and where we fit into it. Morale dips lower each time we miss a redeployment date. There have been two so far. I'm no hero and deserve nothing for my participation in Operation Iraqi Freedom, but what we all deserve is a clear-cut, concrete answer to when we can go home. Everyone in this theater deserves that.
And this letter is signed?
Yes, from a Staff Sergeant S.A. Morgan in Iraq.
Now, when a letter like that is posted, does the Staff Sergeant receive criticism from superiors, or what is the effect?
Well, the one thing I do know about is these letters generate a lot of response letters from other troops on our letters page. As far as being punished by commanders, we haven't heard any cases yet of that happening in response to a letter that was published in the newspaper.
So there's no response from the editor of the newspaper or anyone saying, dear soldier, your job is to follow orders and not ask questions?
Oh, no. It's a common misconception that this newspaper is a military newspaper run by the military, but it is not. We're partially funded by the Defense Department because of our incredibly huge distribution route, but otherwise it's a First Amendment paper. There's no kind of repercussion from the newspaper staff on this kind of thing. It's, again, the thing we usually see is other troops writing letters back in response saying, hey, get over yourself.
Was there any response to this letter that you just read us?
Not specifically. What we get are a lot of letters that are generally addressed to, quote, everybody who's been whining, unquote, and that kind of thing. There are some letters that are specifically addressed by people, but most of them say, I want to talk to everybody who's been writing letters whining about morale in Iraq.
Is this different from other wars? I don't know how long you personally have been at Stars and Stripes, but the paper's been around for quite a while. How old is it?
Well, the paper has history back to the Civil War. I've been here myself 5 years, but I do know from past papers that the meals ready to eat, which were called A rations and T rations back in earlier wars, were often what troops ate.
Does the Defense Department monitor these letters in part to get some sense of how morale is going? I mean, are they seeing as a valid barometer of how people actually feel?
I'm not sure about that. I do know that various companies monitor it. We occasionally get letters from higher ups. For example, the officers who run the European command have written in about certain issues, but those issues have been about the military transformation process that's ongoing right now and not specifically about Iraq deployments.
Well, I'm looking at one from a Tony Carrillo who's now in Germany, and he's saying to those who criticize the mail, the meals, some of our troops went to Iraq and returned in flag-draped boxes. Maybe the letter writer ought to check his priorities. I guess they keep each other in line.
They do keep each other in line. One thing we've been seeing lately in the responses to poor morale letters are reminders to the deployed troops of what things were like in past wars and how much better they have it now. There's a letter that we ran in our August 11th edition where a writer was addressing several letters he had seen complaining about living conditions in Iraq, and he said, most of us likely have relatives who fought in World War II, Korea, or Vietnam. What they endured should make us feel ashamed for complaining about slow mail and lack of email and air conditioning.
Sharon, I haven't seen anything in your website or the letters here about casualties. Why aren't there letters here discussing that sort of thing?
If you see it mentioned, it is only mentioned in fairly vague terms most of the time, and I think that's a military culture thing. It just seems like a bad luck talisman to say anything about it. It tends not to be talked about very much.
And so morale is rated generally how? Pretty decent or?
Well, it's very hard to say. For every letter that comes to us complaining about the situation there, a letter comes that tells everyone, hey, suck it up. It's not that bad, especially compared to World War II or Korea. So conditions aren't great, but it seems almost from our letters that it's split 50-50 between people who are not having a good time handling the situation and other people who went into it with their eyes open and knew exactly what to expect.
Well, Sharon Olson, Assistant Managing Editor for the Europe Desk of Stars and Stripes newspaper, thank you very much for speaking to us.
You're welcome.